Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. For those people unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We started this a real long time. Today, just for dating, this radio show is November 1st, believe it or not, 2023. And pretty soon after this one, we're going to be on daylight savings time, which means it's going to get darker earlier. Actually, no. It's just that they switched the clocks around. So we are here on Building Fortunes Radio with a good friend of ours. Darlene runs the Ideal Network. And when we started Building Fortunes Radio, I knew I needed some great guest hosts to be able to complement or supplement the things that we were doing. And I asked Darlene to kind of host one of our radio shows. We're doing this every single week on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. on the Central side for a long time. It's one of our longest-running radio shows. You can pick it up on buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal. And we've covered a lot of topics. And towards the last year or so, we've been kind of using this to kind of document some of the things that happen either in our lives, you know, kind of like for memoirs, if you will, or some of the things that are happening that you might be able to reference. And Darlene has done a whole bunch of research and a whole bunch of stuff that you'll probably want to grab a pen, especially for this one as well, because she's got some life lessons she wants to share with you. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, you'll be able to hear this as well as the previous radio shows that we've done. And I know she's been helping some people and going through the things that you go through when you're helping people. And I'd like to hear her story today. So, Darlene, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter, for doing this. It's given me a bully pulpit, as they say, to work from and kind of document some of the things that I've done over the years and kind of become my guideline of some of the works that I've been doing and making shifts so that I can continue to do ever more things that I would love to achieve while I'm here on this planet. You know that I've talked about several things, projects that I shifted my attention to this past year, and one of them, of course, was towards working with creating a chaplain's course for those who specifically study the Urantia papers, U-R-A-N-T-I-A. .org is where you can get a copy of those free. They're listed online with the follow-along audio and visual of it. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit about that papers. And then I'm going to talk about one of the areas that I feel like that we need chaplains in drastically. And that's among those that are incarcerated. And there is a group of people throughout the Urantia Foundation and the Urantia movement that are beginning and have been for a while working with the incarcerated ones. So I'll give you some links and some thoughts. And, of course, at the end I'll give you my telephone number. And so if you're interested in participating, you'll be able to follow up, because this is really where we're at right now, is comprehending things that Jesus talked about throughout his ministry. And, you know, those that you do for the least of these, you do for me, is one of his comments that he said. And I am now working on the year 2023, and so I'm focusing on the Urantia papers that were done during the year AD 23, which would have been Jesus's age 29 during his lifetime on the planet. And so those papers will incorporate paper 129 starting at, I think, section 3, and then from there to a paper 133. section 4:12. So these are things that Jesus did during this pivotal year that were not known well to, or even known that his family, that he had made these trips and et cetera. And the person that you'll hear talked about is Gannett, G-A-N-I-D. And so if you'll do a word search, you're going to find a direct connection to the Urantia Papers and this person from India that he had an invested quite a bit of time with, that gives us a lot of insight as to Jesus's teaching methods that can help us as we reach out and do our work, especially as chaplains. So we are going to talk a little bit about, first and foremost, I have conflicts with some of the things that I talk with because I see so much unfairness. I see so much injustice in the world and lack of mercy and compassion. But at the same time, you have to say no sometimes to people who especially are accustomed to doing things that are life-destroying. And just before I started the show today, this gentleman came and wanted me to take him to go get some what he calls medicine. Well, it's something that I don't approve of. It was illegal in the state of Indiana for quite some time, and now it's only just recently, supposing to him, which I've not verified yet, that it's become illegal. Before, you had to go over to Illinois to get it and bring it into Indiana, which then, of course, you're transporting something that's illegal into the state. And, of course, I would not do that. And I told him, I said, you know, I will not continue to help you in any way. So stop asking me to take you somewhere where you're going to buy something that, quote unquote, I think is life destructive and is harmful to you and other people around you. And I don't know when people will finally stop asking when they know that I'm going to say no. And it's one of these situations that we have a system in our nation of incarceration that does not help individuals to recover from their bad behaviors or their harmful behaviors that they've done. This is something that I really feel like we need to, every one of us, be addressing. Is we have a direct conflict of interest in our jail and with our prisons. They're mostly privately owned. Therefore, if they're not being used, there's not going to be income coming from them. And I think this is a direct conflict of interest because the idea of incarceration was to, number one, take them out of the society that they were doing harm to, but also to help them to learn the errors of their ways and to create a better lifestyle for themselves and their people around them. So we need to comprehend that, number one, this is a political issue, and this is a situation we need to make some shifts in our system to back to where these prisons, these jails, these areas where people are incarcerated are more for recovery. Most of the people that you're going to be encountering have some mental and emotional challenges that need to be directly addressed, and they're not being. Locking somebody up and throwing away the keys is not the solution. So we have to really think again very much about what we are doing on our planet. And as you know, we called it the Golden Rule Ministries, but there is a fatal flaw in that dynamic, to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. If you are not love yourself, if you don't care what you do to yourself, how can you love other people? How can you treat other people fairly? And, of course, those who are familiar with the situation that happened recently in Maine where a reservist was incarcerated for a couple weeks for mental health issues, and then where he was saying that he was going to harm people and et cetera. But then they let him out, and then he ends up killing quite a few people. With this is the dynamic, and then he ends up apparently killing himself, which, you know, I guess we can say we can be grateful because the system was never going to address his root cause. And so at least he didn't put us through the drama and the horrors of having to go through trials and et cetera. At the same time, we have to realize that we are at fault if we're not doing something. And this is what Jesus is actually talking about in this AD 23 papers that go from Urantia Papers 129 to 133. And the work that Gana did in India for writing up what he and recording what he felt that he was important to him in those papers. And if we look at what's going on in paper 130 and paper 132, it directly addresses many of the dynamics that we need to shift our time. It says in Urantia paper 130, section 2, paragraph 9, that guide seekers, in other words, give us guidance. So guide seekers into doing the will of God, into making wholehearted decisions, spiritual choices. In answering Gannett's question about whether a dog had a soul, Jesus said, quote, human wills which are fully occupied with passing only upon temporal decisions having to do with the material problems of animal existence are doomed to perish in time. Those who have wholehearted moral decisions, those who make wholehearted moral decisions and unqualified spiritual choices are thus progressively identified with the indwelling and divine spirit, and therefore are they increasingly transformed into the values of eternal survival, unending progression of divine service. And so that is a real, you know, complicated kind of dynamic. There's a lot within that very short paragraph that help us to realize that we have to learn how to make wholehearted moral decisions and unqualified spiritual choices. We have to be progressive as we indwell and learn how to use our skills and our abilities. And this is one of the reasons for me stepping forth to develop a chaplain's course that's going to be working more into the whole life dynamics. And one of them that I'm finding to be the most challenging is those that will be doing the courses for the chaplains that will be working inside of incarcerated areas, because every county, every state has different rules and different regulations in order to jump through the hoops to be able to participate in this way. So we need to find ways that we can get information into these facilities where people can learn how to not repeat the bad behaviors that got them locked up. And a lot of times you're going to find that it's not even bad behaviors. It's just something that somebody ran afoul of, maybe not getting their license plates renewed in time. And they get caught for having expired plates. And so their vehicle gets incarcerated. And sometimes they get incarcerated. So these are things that we have to look at what we are doing as a species with our political system and with those that we are interacting with on creating the rules to which we agree to live within or under. And this is something that we have to pay more close attention, because otherwise we're going to be getting into situations of hatred and anger and things like this that's going on within the situation with Israel and the war that's going on there. This is all about hatred. And now you're seeing it spill over in America on the universities where they've been teaching type of hatred philosophies so much that we're not even beginning to comprehend what's going on. And then suddenly we wonder why you have people like this person who did the killings in Maine recently, and that did the killings in Israel of the people that were just attending a music rally and killed around 1,400 people. These hate type organizations that are surviving and thriving on our planet have got to be addressed. And I think it's right at this level of our local incarceration, our local laws, without recovery. Because once a person has gotten into that system, it's very, very challenging for them to break free from it. And I think it's so important for us to get this material into the incarcerated community, because like I said, they're kind of like a situation where, you know, they're not able to get out, so they are a captive audience, in other words. So it seems like we would be doing a lot of great works if we would help them to learn how to comprehend what the Urantia papers are trying to tell us about this fifth epic revelation and moving our planets into further and further into light and life. Of course, the word light meaning enlightenment and knowledge and the ability to think with the grace, elegance, and ease, that which is life empowering. And we need to understand and comprehend this failure of social and economic fairness that we've got on our planet, that it's talked about in Urantia Paper 70. That's Urantia Paper 70, I think it's section 12, 6 to 16 in that area, that it talks about the natural interests and human rights, the narrative of human tolerance, and the ideals of fairness upon which our Western civilization was founded. They're inspiring. You know, we've got to be able to know what is life empowering and what's not life empowering. And we need to help our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our great-grandchildren all the way down through the generations to think ever better life empowering thoughts. And we're not using words like ideal or ideas and higher ways of thinking and behaving that Jesus set out to reinforce to the people that he communicated with. And this is a dynamic that we comprehend, that these papers 130 to 133 are the mission of Jesus as the teacher. And so if we learn the skills of the dynamics of this individual that lived on our planet that we know as Jesus. So whatever you think that this person was here, whether you think he was the Son of God or not, this is, we're all children of the Creator. And so whatever you would think, the wisdom that's within these papers are so valuable for us to be able to maintain ourselves into an intellectual integrity, that we can help each other to be learners and be able to comprehend how we can be of service. So helping those who are incarcerated. And this includes our children in school, because I must say that that from my past talking that I'm very critical of the school systems. I've seen too many things harmful to the children, that they are not truly able to learn and grow and prosper in the school system, because there's too many conflicts within the classroom and within the hallway or within the playground area that these children often are afraid to even be there. And so how can they learn if they are bullied or things are going on and they're not being addressed properly? So we have to stop and think about repairing our families to the point where we can actually see what is going on before somebody does something that really could be harmful to themselves and everyone else around them. So I think that we really could learn a lot from the things that we've talked about in the past, especially when you go into the back office of the Building Fortunes program and be able to work with us in the network leads. If you begin to comprehend the things that Peter has put in there about how to be able to reach out and communicate with people in a sales force method. Because when you're doing something in sales, you're looking for what is the other person needing. They're not going to buy something that they really don't think they need. You know, there's some people that, you know, that just kind of are just shoppers and will pick up just anything and then probably not ever use it. But I'm talking about a situation where you have some educational material that helps you be able to address other people's concerns with a solution that you have that you can sell to them. And so when I'm talking about the Urantia Papers or the Bible or any other spiritual dynamic, you're talking about something that people can apply to their lives, something that has value in their home, that they can make their home a better place to live, a clean, safe place to be able to live. Because in today's world, many of our children just do not have that wonderful lifestyle that people like myself were very, very fortunate to have parents that were I consider to be ideal parents. Everyone should have parents that have clean homes, that make good living so that their children can have a healthy life, that they live in a safe environment, as I feel like that we did on military installations. I feel so richly blessed, and I'd like to pass those blessings on to others, that we have those dynamics, and they've got to start in areas that people are incarcerated in now. They're definitely not in a healthy place to be. Now, do I want to reward them for their bad behavior? No, I don't want to reward them, but I also don't want to lock them away and forget them. We need to create situations where they learn to live and take care of themselves. Wouldn't it be wonderful if while they were incarcerated, they learned how to cook and clean and take care of themselves and their environment, so that we wouldn't actually have to pay people that are in the outside to be the guards and et cetera. Couldn't we begin to realize that they could help themselves to learn these art of living skills? I've talked about the invasive species program. I remember that many years ago, there were people that were let out of the jails to be able to go and work on the roadsides and keep the roadsides clean and neat and all of the trash picked up. And so these were people that were trusted individuals. They earned the right to be outside working. They had guards that were guarding them still, but they knew that if they just one time walked away or did anything, that they would be a wanted person and they'd never get the opportunity to do it again. So we have had programs in the past that have been very successful that we need to look back and see what has worked in the past in order for us to create dynamics. And one of the areas that I've been looking at in this area that I'm working with in the chaplain's course, of course, is what do we do inside the jails? What ministries are we offering within the jails that we can help individuals to be able to get out of the jail and not repeat? And what do we do to change the jail program so that all of our prisons and all of our local, from the local all the way up to the very most hardened criminal areas, that we are working to create recidivism at the lowest rate. We don't want people to repeat, be repeat offenders. We want people to learn the lesson of how to live in society without doing harm to themselves or other people. We're not learning that well in our schools. We're not learning it in our churches. We're not learning it in society as a whole. And that's why we have such a high level of drug addiction. We have a high level of criminal activities going on from the very top of just petty theft. And I can say they're petty. They're called petty theft, but it's still theft is theft. Shoplifting. I have a gentleman out here that I call him a gentleman for a reason, is he's learned how to be a gentle person in a way that you don't suspect he's about to rob you. And so these are things that people can learn the skills to hide in plain sight. And so we need to make sure that we're not creating that situation that a person's conscience would be so deadened that they could be right in front of you and picking your pocket. You know, what is it that these people learn how to become very well-skilled thieves, and et cetera? So what are we doing in our society that we can change? And this is what I see the Urantia Papers can help us to do with learning how to identify what is unjust and what's just, and how we can actually do these dynamics. I said to Peter something in the very beginning, and then I'm going to end with this statement. I said, if you desire my help, you have to pay my price. In other words, you have to have good behavior. You have to not be doing and repeating bad behavior. So if you desire my help, you have to pay my price, and that's to be able to be a good, moral, spiritually inclined individual who would not do harm to yourself or to other people. So I'm going to wrap that down. Peter, you got anything you want to end? I'll leave my number right here now. 812.
No, all great information. Yep, leave your number.
Okay, 812-664-7419. Again, 812-664-7419. So if you'll give me a call, I will have Peter put a link to one of the areas that I'm working with the incarcerated program. That is one of the groups within the Urantia Foundation that up in Oregon area that's really doing a great job. And so they've laid out a program for us to copy in all of our states. So if somebody else has already showed the way, let's get involved and see what we can do to help those who are incarcerated and not receiving the care that they need to recover their moral and spiritual life and their physical life often.
All great information. So we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal, you'll be able to pick up this radio show again as well as Darlene's other ones, and we will look forward to having everybody on the radio show next week. Darlene, thanks as well. I'm going to read that article you had sent over, and maybe we'll talk about that next week as well. And I appreciate all the things you do for the people that are important to you. So we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network, so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.